Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
So I'm just kind of asking myself, when you take a tight end and a wide receiver in the first two rounds, when you're only 1 year removed from taking a quarterback and a wide receiver in the first two picks of the previous draft, you go out and you sign a running back like DeAndre Swift, you're putting a lot in the corner, and specifically the Caleb Williams corner, of this offense better be good. They put a ton of investment into the offense last year and got nothing for it in return. Now heading into this year, they're investing even more into the offense. And as I've said with general manager Ryan Poles, who has yet to draft a Pro Bowl player, I said heading in that 10, 39, and 41, his picks in the NFL draft, at least two of them needed to be home runs. At least two of them needed to be Pro Bowl players. Because it's about time. And I'll be honest, I feel pretty good about one of the picks. The rest of these picks have me scratching my head a little bit. And it does have me, I'll be honest with you, maybe a little bit more hesitant to get out there on my skis and say, hey, the Chicago Bears are going to win 10 games next year. So we're going to dive into these picks. We're going to go one at a time. A lot of these are Ben Johnson type picks. And luckily, starting with the first pick that they made at number 10 in the first round, I was at a great event on Bourbon Street. It was about 115th Street out in Marionette Park, working an event for the draft. When the name came in and was read over the loudspeaker at the CHGO sports event, a lot of people were a little confused, a lot of mixed feelings about this. But I'll be honest, the Chicago Bears taking at number 10, Colston Loveland, tight end from the Michigan Wolverines, I'm on board with it. When I did my preview, he was not in my top 10. He was in my honorable mention. I did have Tyler Warren rated a little bit higher than him just because of the fact that I think the Chicago Bears need another running back in that backfield. They didn't really get it in this draft, so they're still looking for one. But I thought Tyler Warren out of the backfield could run some short yardage situations. I'm not a huge DeAndre Swift guy. I don't think that DeAndre Swift is terrible. My problem is with DeAndre Swift when it's 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, those got to have it downs where you just, the guys in front just put their hand in the grass, move the pile and move the chains and get a first down. I just have a lot of questions about who that player is on this football team right now. I thought Tyler Warren would have solved that. But look, Colston Loveland on the Michigan Wolverines. This guy, big body receiver. He's 6'5". He's 240. He plays just like a wide receiver. He's faster than Tyler Warren. He doesn't quite have the in-the-air jump ball instincts of a Jimmy Graham, but once he gets the ball in his hands, he moves a little bit like a young Jimmy Graham. And a lot of people throw a player comp out for him, which is current Detroit Lions tight end Sam Laporta, a guy that Ben Johnson has coached, a guy that Ben Johnson has elevated and ascended and turned into a Pro Bowl player. The other thing to keep in mind, which is why I'm also okay with this first pick at 10. Trust me, I'm not going to be okay with all of these, but I'm okay with Colston Loveland at 10, is that Ben Johnson's background is as a tight end coach. That is his forte. That was his specialty coming up in the NFL. So if he got his pick of his guy, a guy that he liked so much that he wanted to take a 10th overall in the first round of the NFL draft, you have to buy into that just a little bit. And say Ben Johnson knows it when he sees it. He has coached it his whole life. And hopefully now Colston Loveland can be this type of X factor that elevates the game of not just Caleb Williams, but Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, maybe Cole Kmet, maybe another wide receiver added to the mix moving forward heading into next year. The other part that I like about Colston Loveland is that it now allows the Chicago Bears to run what a lot of people like to call 12 personnel. For those of you that aren't familiar, 12 personnel, an easy way to explain it is just a heavy set on the line of scrimmage with two tight ends and all your offensive linemen on the line of scrimmage. Ben Johnson last year with the Detroit Lions ran this formation a lot. He almost ran it 40% of the time, at least as a look. And if you were of the camp and of the mindset that we need to do a better job of protecting Caleb Williams, that we need to give Caleb Williams a little more time to throw the ball, to sit in the pocket and not feel flustered, 12 personnel helps that. So I am 1,000% on board with that. In addition, the Chicago Bears did not solve, attack, or fill, in my opinion, what's going on at left tackle right now for the Chicago Bears with Braxton Jones recovering from an ankle surgery. As at this time right now, even head coach Ben Johnson has said he will not be ready for training camp. Probably ready for week one, but we don't know that. Anything can happen in that scenario. And for a guy like Braxton Jones, who a lot of people believe needs to get stronger in the offseason, has not had the opportunity to have an offseason to get stronger. He's had an offseason of rehab. Braxton Jones is a solid player, but that is a question mark. So if you're going to have a question mark at left tackle, if you're not 100% sure whether it's going to be Braxton Jones or my awful thought that I keep throwing out there that they're going to kick Joe Tooney out and play left tackle at some point, playing 12 personnel with both Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet on the field at the same time, it's not a bad move. Ben Johnson wanted this guy, got this guy. Couple other small little pieces of information that hopefully make you feel a little bit better about them taking a tight end at 10. If you go through the list after the 10th pick, just look through maybe 12 or 13 names. In my personal opinion, outside of maybe Tyler Warren, who I had on the list here, outside of maybe Mikel Williams, who I had just one slot ahead of Tyler Warren in my 9-10 slot of 10 guys I thought the Chicago Bears should target, Mikel Williams went number 11 to the San Francisco 49ers. Tyler Warren went to the Colts at number 14. Outside of those two players, there is really not a single player on that board that I'm saying, oh man, the Chicago Bears should have taken him over Colston Loveland. I hopped here in front of this microphone and put it on Sports Talk Chicago on our YouTube channel that my pick for this, I thought the Chicago Bears were going to take Kelvin Banks Jr., the left tackle out of Texas. Guess where he went? He went 9th overall. One spot ahead of the Chicago Bears. So he wasn't even on the board. So Colston Loveland, next man up. Next dude, hopefully that is a weapon for Caleb Williams. And the part that you also have to look at is, look, don't pull up his stat sheet and his game log sheet, especially playing for Michigan last year. Because there's a couple things. What's nice about this draft is the Bears went ahead and took some Big Ten guys, which is nice. I get an opportunity to cover the Big Ten every single year. I hosted a show for CHGO last year, so I watched a ton of Big Ten football. And I'll be honest with you, watching Michigan Wolverine football was a tall task. It almost was homework at times because the quarterback play was awful. They started three different guys, and it didn't matter whether it was Davis Warren, Alex Orji, whatever, whoever you want to put in that lineup, they couldn't complete a pass that went in the air longer than 10 yards. The only time that they did were the passes to Colston Loveland. And all an opposing defense had to do was take Colston Loveland out of the mix, and that was it. Not a lot of great, strong wide receiver help. That was a run-first team this last year and the year previous when they won the national title. When J.J. McCarthy was the quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines, Colston Loveland was his safety blanket. Made some great catches on the sidelines. If you remember, J.J. McCarthy actually targeted him in that national championship game that got picked early on. He had that little bump in the road. Guy made a great play on it, but Colston Loveland would have come down with it. The dude is smooth. The dude is fast. And he's the type of guy that I think can really create some problems on the middle part of the field to let Rome and DJ Moore work on the outside. What I'm really curious to see is with this next pick, the Chicago Bears in the second round, surprised many by taking Luther Burden III out of Missouri, wide receiver, is I think in theory what they're trying to do is they're trying to run some 1-2 combo games on the inside of the field. So to be really simplistic and fundamental about it, what Ben Johnson likes to do, or what he's proposing to do, is he likes to run a lot of different routes out of the same formation. So sometimes the defense will see a formation and go, oh, wow, that means that they're going to run the ball. Oh, yeah, wow, that means they're going to throw the ball. What Ben Johnson wants to do is he wants to line up in the same formation and then run different plays out of that same formation so the defense doesn't know what's coming because it all looks the same pre-snap. What I'm hoping for is that Colston Loveland and Luther Burden, the slot receiver, who's really good at those intermediate, just turn around and catch and run type plays, that they're running some little games with the linebackers post-snap. And now all of a sudden the linebacker has to account for not just Luther Burden, but also for Colston Loveland. The nickelback has to stay into the middle of the field. And now a safety has to make a choice whether they're going to double roam or they're going to double DJ Moore. Long story short is you're hoping that somebody on the outside gets an opportunity to work one-on-one and especially maybe over the top across the field while there's all this business going on up front. And with that business, by playing those games, post-snap, Colston Loveland, Caleb Williams can get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker. So let's move on over to Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri, taking 39th overall. Look, I was banging the table for Travion Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State. And the part that you have to keep in mind is, well, when every single pick that the Chicago Bears make surprises you, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm going to lean a bit more towards the bad thing. Because a lot of people could say, well, we don't understand their board. We don't understand their grading scale. Well, but according to me, though, what you're watching all the other NFL teams do, they're taking players at places that I thought that they would go at. Travion Henderson, again, a guy that I wanted. Guess where he went? 38th. One pick before the Chicago Bears got an opportunity to take. So I wanted them to take Kelvin Banks Jr. and I wanted them to take Travion Henderson. Both those players went one pick before the Chicago Bears selected. So at 39, what did the Bears do? They took Luther Burden III. Now, this is the part that kind of confuses me. Colston Loveland, a guy, can play a 12 personnel, can play inline, but not a great blocker. You're going to want to actually want to have him stand up, and you're going to want to have him in motion. I actually think he's more kind of a slot guy. So why are you taking Luther Burden here, the third, with your 39th pick, who is a slot guy? The Chicago Bears are going to tell you he was the best player available on their board. And I don't doubt it. There's a lot of people here that believe that he was a first-round talent. A lot of people said that he fell, quote-unquote, out of the second round. This dude's got great speed. Nothing you can say about that. Dude is fast. And to be very weird, he kind of also looks like DJ Moore. I don't know what exactly that means. I always have this thought in the back of my head where, look, I love DJ Moore. I think he's a fantastic receiver. He's super tough. He is a gamer. He has shown up for us, and he deserves every single dollar that the Chicago Bears have paid for him. But what was always the knock on DJ Moore is that he isn't exactly the most precise inch-by-inch, centimeter-by-centimeter route runner in the NFL. And what is Ben Johnson like? He likes precise centimeter-by-centimeter route running. How is that going to mesh? That's maybe a thought for another day. But when you watch the tape of Luther Burden III, he looks a lot like DJ Moore. And I do like the fact that maybe you can line those two guys up, him and Loveland, and play all sorts of games. One guy stops, the other guy goes. One guy cuts, the other guy cuts the other way. There's a lot of things that defense are going to have to account for just by pairing those two up on the side of the field that don't even get a chance to speak the name Rome Odunze or DJ Moore. There are some possibilities here. Now, let's get to the dirt. Why did he fall in round two? I had the opportunity to not only read some things are out there that are common knowledge. There are some NFL scouts that are a little skeptical or scratching their head just a little bit that his girlfriend is his manager. But then I got the opportunity to hear a couple things that also have me scratching my head a little bit about why Ben Johnson picked this particular player. Because he does have a couple of questions about his character. There are some questions about his practice habits. And I'm not going to get into detail about everything that I heard because it's not very fair to the kid right now. But I will say something that is unfair to him right now is that everything that I've heard, it's almost like jumping in a time machine. And it almost sounds like the Chicago Bears drafted Anthony Miller all over again. Do we remember Anthony Miller from the Ryan Pace era? Second round pick out of Memphis. Could be amazing if he can only just put it together. And this pick, strangely, and this is the unfair part, this pick at number 39, Luther Burden III, walks in the footsteps of the Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy era. It's an overload on offense. And now you're saying to yourself, over the last 2 years, the Chicago Bears have had four picks in the top 39 of drafts. And they've taken a quarterback on board with, that took a wide receiver. I like Roma Dunze. They took at number 10 this year, Colson Loveland, and they took at number 39, Luther Burden. That is some heavy, heavy, heavy draft capital solely on the offense. And it's not fair, but man, it does give me some trauma. And you're saying to yourself, general manager Ryan Pulse, this has to work out. But I do feel a little bit like I'm being a prisoner of an awful cycle of football here in Chicago. That can this guy keep it together? Can this guy ascend with his work ethic and improve? And it's just something that kind of makes you scratch your head again. And instead of attacking the interior, which I do feel like that they needed to do on one side or other side of the ball, there was the Minnesota left tackle, Ariante Ursary, still on the board at that point. I liked him. I wasn't in love with him. I don't know if he was the future at left tackle, but guess what he probably could have done? Started week one for you if Braxton Jones went down. They went with Luther Burden III. Now, look, 6 months from now, we could be rolling in the mud of our own joy and the offensive desires that we've never, ever experienced before with three wide receivers that are completely capable, dynamic, and explosive. We have a tight end, Colson Loveland, who is basically a slot receiver, who's our Sam Laporta-type player that is a real game-breaker in the passing game. And then, oh, yeah, Cole Kmet, no slouch, can still do some stuff. And this offense is humming, and this is all cooking great for Caleb Williams. But at the same time, a part of it has me exhale and sigh a little bit, where I do think that the Chicago Bears need some help at the running back position. Chicago Bears probably could have used a little bit more help on the offensive line. And the Chicago Bears probably could have used some more help at someone that's going to get after the quarterback. So the first two picks, even the best analysts out there, they have to give some grace to, let's see how Ben Johnson wants to implement his system. Let's give him an opportunity. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt and the time to see how this all plays itself out. But at the same time, I can't help but feel just a little bit like we've seen some of this stuff before here in Chicago with some past general managers, some past regimes, of getting their guys shirking the board a little bit and taking people that they simply want to take. And the same question still remains, is it the type of roster building that you want to see? You now put Luther Burden and Colson Loveland on the same timeline. So let's just play this out and let's just say it is the rosiest scenario possible that they're both Pro Bowl type players. Roma Dunze is awesome. In a couple years, look, it is what it is. But, you know, when DJ Moore's contract's up 29-30, maybe they move on from him. Maybe they keep him. You don't know. But in 3 or 4 years, Roma Dunze is going to want some money. And in 3 or 4 years, Luther Burden and Colson Loveland's going to want some money. It's an interesting issue. I mean, the Bengals had a hard enough time paying Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm playing just out the rosiest scenario possible. And my final thought about this before we go to break here is there is a little bit of a part of me that I was hoping that the Chicago Bears would kind of take care of some of the meat and potatoes in this draft. Maybe some stuff that, you know, Ben Johnson doesn't need. Because what I've seen from last year with the Detroit Lions is they brought in a guy like Tim Patrick, a bit of a journeyman, a veteran, a guy who was on the Denver Broncos, played well at some times, had some injuries. They plugged him into Ben Johnson's system, and all of a sudden Tim Patrick isn't just Tim Patrick anymore. He's some sort of dynamic player that's making some plays for the Detroit Lions. And I get it, you want to match talent with scheme, but there was another part of me that said, well, maybe there's some areas where, you know, Ben Johnson's scheme can allow us to bring in some different type of players on cheaper salaries and have that type of success. But no, they're going full bore. They're going full into the weapons on offense. And to be very fair, at least this time around, the Chicago Bears opened up the checkbook and paid for Jonah Jackson, Drew Dolman, and traded for Joe Tooney. At the very least, bare minimum, we have an average offensive line. Look, we had a bad one this year. Anyone who thinks that we jump from bad to elite, I don't really know what to tell you. I don't really see that happening. But at the very least, we have an average one that could possibly be above average. That gives you at least some hope that when you make these types of moves in the NFL draft, that maybe, just maybe, somehow, the return on investment that the Chicago Bears have put heavy capital into the last 2 years might actually pay off with Ben Johnson calling the plays, Caleb Williams in his second year, and all these young players around him.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.